Oh, I am a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. And for this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in 4 places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism, a camping in the snow. But I killed a chance of Yankees and I'd like to kill some more. 300,000 Yankees is stiff in southern dust. We got 300,000 before they conquered us. They died of southern fever and southern steel and shot. I wish they were 3 million instead of what we got. I can't take up my musket and fight them now no more. But I ain't gonna love them, now that is certain sure. And I don't want no pardon for what I was and am. I won't be reconstructed and I do not give a damn. Oh, I am a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done.
Welcome back to another episode of Confederate Radio with your host, Lieutenant Colonel Bryce, CSA 2. I wanted to get into today the Emancipation Proclamation, some of the things that Lincoln did during the war between the states. And one of the common misconceptions is Lincoln emancipated, he freed all the slaves. But this is factually incorrect. And a lot of times you'll get into arguments with people and they'll be like, well, the North wanted to free the slaves. They wanted to make everybody free. That's what the whole war was about. And the Southern Confederacy just wanted to keep people in bondage and expand a slave empire. But you see from the facts, if you've done any studying of the war between the states, that this is not only incorrect, it's a blatant lie. Because the Emancipation Proclamation specifically states, and it was written in 1863, the beginning of 1863 is when it was proclaimed, January 1st, 1863. This was the high watermark of the Confederacy. This is where they had made their most gains. Kentucky was in the process of being liberated. Lee had marched north from Virginia, was on his Gettysburg campaign. And then you have Lincoln scared that France and Britain are going to recognize the Confederacy and then send ships to break the blockade. What can he do but seize the moral high ground? Make the war about slavery. So what he does is pushes this Emancipation Proclamation. Now, this was supposed to be a war measure. He tacitly acknowledges that in his talks and letters to other congressmen. The proclamation declares that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states during the Civil War are and henceforth shall be free. So let's look into that. The rebellious states, what does that comprise of? The Confederate States of America, right? And at this time, the Confederate States of America are at the high water mark of the war. They control their territory. They're defending it and well. Lincoln has no authority over these southern states. The state senates and houses of representatives are all Confederate citizens. The government of the whole Confederate States of America is still in Confederate hands. just like the majority of the states. So they're representing themselves, they're governing themselves, they're enacting their own laws, they have their own military, they're engaging in diplomacy with other nations. So how is Lincoln going to enact this? He can't. It is something he is proclaiming from a foreign nation. It is something he is doing to get the moral high ground in this war. It is something he is doing to keep the British and French from coming in on the side of the Confederacy and breaking his blockade. But does he hear free the slaves in the states that remain in the Union? No. He frees the ones that are in the states in rebellion, the ones that he has no control over. But the border states, such as Maryland, Kentucky, Northern Missouri, Delaware, none of those states have to free their slaves. I believe New Jersey as well had slaves at the time. But none of these states, none of their slaves are freed. You know, the Union General, Ulysses S. Grant, is still able to keep his slaves. Politicians in the North are still able to keep their slaves. He didn't want to rock that boat. He just went after the ones in the states in rebellion because he believed that the slaves would rise up in the South. Now tell me why. Okay, with all the men off fighting in a war, so all you've got is old men left, young boys, and women in the South, in these southern states in rebellion. And Lincoln wants a general slave uprising. That was the true purpose of the Emancipation Proclamation. And he stated that in letters sent to his friends, you know, his political advisors and the like. He wanted a general slave uprising in the South that would then pull troops from fighting the Northern armies and defending their homeland. But look at the pages of history. Did this ever materialize? No, it did not. It did not materialize. And the only reason I can find for this is in Robert Catlett Cave's book, The Men in Gray. Great book. You can get it at CSA2 Rebel Corner Store for, I think, $8, I believe, $8 or $10. It's just a very small price to pay for a book of 141 pages written by a Confederate veteran of the Virginia Cavalry. Now, what he says is that, at least in Virginia society, in the aristocratic South, that they did not treat their slaves like you see in these movies. They weren't beating them, they weren't raping them, they weren't doing this, that, or the other. And if you did something like that, you were then shunned by the southern aristocracy of the day because it was unchristian. The Bible states how to treat your slaves, and these were Christian people. Remember that. Now, I am not condoning slavery, but I'm saying there was beliefs held at the time that prevented the vast majority of treating these people as less than human, as like you see in most of these movies. Whenever slavery is brought up in a movie, you know, they're getting beat, they're getting raped, they're getting this, that, and the other. But according to Mr. Cave, this was not the case, at least in Virginia society. And it doesn't make sense from a, gosh, it's so hard to think of people in these terms, but it doesn't make sense in an economical sense either. Like, if you were beating people who were working for you into a coma every night and then raping the women, how are they going to work for you? Because they needed them to work. They also didn't need them rising up and killing them in their sleep, like Nat Turner's rebellion or like John Brown's raids. So from what I understand from the men of the period is that the slaves weren't treated as harshly as the movies show. And because of this, there was no general slave uprising. So if you're being treated horribly, all the men are gone. All that's left is women, children, and old boys. And there's, what, 3.5 million slaves in the South at the time? But there was not one slave uprising. Don't you think if you were treated as horribly as Hollywood portrays, you would rise up? You would form bands. You would fight. You would engage in a guerrilla warfare against your masters. I think so. But if you weren't treated like Hollywood shows, would you rise up? It's a head scratcher, isn't it? But all we do know is that there was no general slave uprising like Lincoln wanted. Troops were not sent from the front to the hinterland to defend hearth and home. That didn't happen. So hopefully we can kill two birds with one stone there. The Emancipation Proclamation was not to free any people. It was for a slave uprising in the South. It did not free the slaves in the North. Lincoln was not the great emancipator. He was a man who was, how do you call it? He was doing something that was expedient at the time for his war effort. That's all he was doing, was trying to keep the French and the British out of it and create a slave uprising that never happened, that never materialized. And then another common misconception is that Abraham Lincoln was this great, great president. You know, we already went over the freedom thing, but even more so was he against personal freedoms. He was not for them in any way, shape, or form. His own quotes, you'll find over and over again that he did not really care for the black man. I wrote a book called In Their Words, Quotes of the Men in Blue, and I compiled some of Lincoln's quotes, and they are very, very harsh. He was not a man who loved freedom. He was not the great freer of the masses. He actually shut down over 300 newspapers in the North that were critical of the war. So he was not for the Constitution. The South left the Union to preserve the Union's Constitution. That's what General Gordon said. And I think that's brilliantly put. Because at the time in the North, every article in the Bill of Rights was being violated. You had no right to a speedy trial in the North if you did not support the war. You had no right to be represented. You had no habeas corpus right. You had no First Amendment right. There was no free speech. You lived in a totalitarianism dictatorship of the North. And you can look this up. Please do look it up. Don't believe me. Go online. Look how many newspapers were shut down. Look how many men were thrown in prison. Look at everything Lincoln enacted during his presidency, and then ask yourself, if this was done now, would I be upset about it? Because most people won't do anything when lockdowns occur. Most people won't do anything when constitutional rights are taken away. But they will get upset about it, and they will tweet about it, and they will post on Facebook about it. You rebels. No, I'm just kidding. I get a little crunchy about that because during 2020, me and my men stood up and we got slapped down in the hardest way by state and local governments. I even had my deposition leaked to the news so that they could paint me as just some bad guy, when really we were standing for law and order during some of the largest riots we've seen in our country's history. So a lot of people won't do anything, but they will post about it and they will get upset about it. So believe me when I tell you, you would probably get upset about what Lincoln was doing if they did it today. Just getting rid of habeas corpus is a cardinal sin. But then to attack the free speech that our forefathers founded this country on, and then to say that you are trying to preserve this country, is ridiculous. It's such a juxtaposition that it's hard to fathom. The great emancipator, the great champion of freedom, did not allow personal freedom in the northern states during his whole presidency. If your newspaper even criticized one part of the war effort, it was getting shut down. There was no free press. And since then, I believe that the newspapers, the news shows, the media outlets have learned their lesson. And they learned it well at the hands of Lincoln and others. Do not criticize the government. Do not criticize a war. Unless you're a Democrat. You can criticize all the wars you want as a Democrat. And you'll get medals, awards, adoration, and adulation of the masses. And only the liberal media outlets are the ones that are allowed to put things out there. We see it today. We see it with the leaks that were revealed recently that U.S. troops are on the ground fighting against Russian soldiers, risking World War III. The Ukrainians were thinking about bombing Moscow, came out in a leak. We have a tiger by the tail right now, and we do not have any media outlets that will tell us the truth. Bill Cooper, he wrote about it. He talked about it over and over again. You know, the CIA-controlled media. Look it up. Don't just look up Bill Cooper. Look up the CIA's media network. The CIA shapes public opinion for themselves. I'm not going to say for the administration, because the CIA has taken down administrations. Look at the tape recorded conversation between Richard Nixon and the CIA chief director. Look it up. It sets out there very plainly what is going on in our nation. And we see with this leaker of the information about our soldiers being on the ground in Russia killing Russian soldiers, that the news agencies were asking the administration, how do we help cover this up? The American people are not intelligent enough. The American people are not good judges of foreign policy. They cannot think for themselves enough to understand what is going on. We need to keep from them the fact that we are bringing this nation closer and closer to a nuclear showdown with Russia and China. We need to keep from the people that we have a president who is directed by the party and can barely form a coherent sentence. And this is not something new. This has been going on since the war between the states, since the invasion of the southern states. We have seen the tightening of the federal government's grip, not only on the people, but on the news outlets that we used to trust. And then anybody who says the news outlets are wrong, the news they're putting out is fake, the news they're putting out is propaganda, they then villainize and demonize. And we've seen this for years. Look what they did to Nixon. Nobody knows much about him other than he's supposedly a bad guy in the Watergate scandal, his name's mentioned with. They don't know that he was on a crusade against the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI. They don't know that this man said over and over again, unelected officials who are directors of the alphabet agencies are running this government. The president does not run the government. He does not. He is a figurehead. You have people who serve in lifetime positions in the Central Intelligence Agency and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Lifetime appointments. Not elected by anybody. That's scary, isn't it? And then you find out about the web of media outlets that the CIA runs so they can put out information and disinformation. They can then control public opinion. If they can control public opinion, they can control you. They can make you a good servant. This is what Lincoln found out during the war between the states. By shutting down newspapers and only leaving newspaper outlets open that were pro-invasion of the southern states. This is what really gets me going, gets me angry, is that over and over again you will hear that the Union wanted freedom. They wanted the Constitution. They wanted to keep people in a union who voted themselves out. They wanted to keep people subjugated who did not want to be a part of the contract that they had signed. The contract had been violated. And as such, they pulled themselves out of the contract, just like you were supposed to do. If the terms of a contract is violated, the contract is then void, and the other side has to pay for that breach. But we don't see the United States paying when the South left. You did not see the South demanding more than was her due. The states left, and the states wanted to be left alone. They did not immediately invade the North, because if they would have, they would have seized Washington, D.C. in the first months. Washington, D.C. did not have the defenses to stave off an invasion. That city would have been captured. The government would have been captured. They could have invaded and taken northern states. They could have invaded and won the war in the first months of the war, but they did not. The South wanted to be left alone. The South wanted to legally vote itself out of a union that had become dangerous to the people of the South. Now, people bring up the firing on Fort Sumter. They fired the first shot. The South had been negotiating with the North, and it was agreed that Fort Sumter would not be resupplied and that the men would leave, and it would be turned over to the state of South Carolina. Lincoln had been lying to the South. His cabinet had been lying to the South while he hastily got together a rescue mission and a resupply mission. It was not a mission to evacuate the men from the fort and take them to the North peacefully. It was a war mission. It was to resupply, bring more men, bring more ammunition so they could fight off the South Carolinians, so they could still have a fort in territory that was now not a part of the sovereign territory of the North. The administration had assured the Confederate government that these men were going to be evacuated. And when it was seen that this was just another Yankee lie, the order was given. The fort was to be taken. The fort was offered the chance to surrender. The fort refused. Hey, isn't this a pattern that we see? You were offered surrender. You refuse. You lose. And then the Yankee press turns the side that wins into villains. So yes, the first shot was fired by the South. But the first shot was fired because of the lies of the government in power. It was fired in defense. They did not want the federal government in the North to have a toehold in South Carolina to launch invasion from, to seize Charleston Harbor. So the first shot was fired by the South, but it was fired in self-defense. Just like every shot during that war fired by the South was fired in self-defense of the Union's Constitution, of the Southern state's sovereignty, and in defense of the form of government that our forefathers in 1776 had laid out for us. Their dream had become a nightmare. And I believe that many of the founding fathers, if they lived through what Lincoln did to this country, they would have been fighting for the Confederate cause. What do you think? Get at me in the comment section. No, we don't have a YouTube up yet. We don't have videos up yet. So just let me know what you guys think. Because I think many of them would have. I think they would have took up musket and saber and fought against a government that had now become as tyrannical as the one they had fought in 1776. I like the quote that says, "Any union that must be maintained with musket and bayonet is not one that I wish to be a part of." And I echo those sentiments. I think many of the listeners here echo that sentiment. Why would I want to be a part of anything that needs to be held together by force of arms? Our forefathers probably thought to themselves, we're supposed to be an elected representational republic. Our government is a republican form of governance where our representatives, men who represent us, are supposed to be sent to government, are to be sent to the government in Washington, D.C. as well. So not only do our states govern us, but we send representatives to a government in Washington, D.C. And these representatives are not supposed to represent their party. They're not supposed to represent one man. Like we talked about before, the identity crisis that this nation is now in, where the whole party identity is wrapped up in a man. We are not supposed to send our representatives there to get rich. They are sent there to represent the people who elected them. And we have not seen this since the earliest days of the Republic. We don't see it now. And we didn't see it in 1860. The North was trying to wrest control of the government from the South. So the South left peacefully. And then an order was given to call up 75,000 volunteers to invade the southern states. That's when we see the states of Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, and Missouri leaving the Union. Because they would not furnish volunteers to subjugate a people, to force a people to stay in a union that they no longer considered beneficial for themselves or even safe for their families. It's scary, people, when you really think deeply about what was going on then and what we see now. I encourage all of you to read books written by men who were there. Primary sources. I encourage all of you to also read Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse, because you see everything that he wrote about coming true today. You have media outlets controlled by the government. They are no longer media. They are no longer news. They are propaganda machines, just like we seen in 1861, 62, 63, 64, and 65. All the agencies that report news are banned, derided. And derision is a big thing, because if you can make a people think that something is a joke, they will not trust it. We haven't gotten to the point where journalists are being arrested yet. That wouldn't look good. That would look bad. But you are in an environment where the CIA controls most of the information put into your head. And they have built their network over the last 60 years, and they've done well. From killing a president to undermining and getting rid of another one to controlling the government. The CIA and the FBI do control everything that goes on in this country. I've been approached by the FBI during the 2020 riots. They want to control everything that is going on. They want to control public opinion. These organizations, and you've got to remember, we fought against a monarchy because a monarch was king for life. These agencies have lifers. The people who staff these agencies are members for life. They don't have a short 4-year agenda. They can have an agenda that spans 20 and 30 years trying to do the same thing. These are lifers, unelected lifers. They do not represent us. They are company men. They represent the company, the good of the company, the good of the agency, the good of the bureau. That is what they are loyal to. They do not care who is in power. They do not care which party runs the government, air quotation marks there, runs, because they do not, our representatives do not care about the people that they represent. Oh yes, they will pander to you every election cycle to get that money and get reelected, but they do not care. Look at what they do. Look at what happened then and look at what is happening now. One thing that Bill Cooper described in his book, Behold the Pale Horse, was a CIA plan to induce in people, via drugs and hypnosis, the desire to shoot up schoolyards. Cooper said such incidents would hasten the call for gun control. This plan is well underway. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is the only thing that keeps us a free people and not indentured servants to the government, not slaves to the government. The state I now reside in just passed a bill. The governor was all happy signing it with his, gosh, mentally ill hordes in our state house and senate. The big picture, him signing a bill, the importation, sale, or possession of any assault-style weapons is now illegal. I pray to God somebody takes this to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Because it's scary. There are 10 states out of 50 now that ban the sale and importation of assault-style weapons. And we see in every one of those states, especially Chicago, that gun violence is high, very high. Gangs have guns. Because gangs are not going to listen to the laws. What are gangs about but breaking the law and making money breaking the law? That quick, fast money. That money that'll put you in prison and that money that'll kill you. So facing those things, do you think a new law on the books is going to stop them? No. It's only going to stop the law-abiding citizens. It's only going to disarm the law-abiding citizens. Now, they'll put many graphs, maps, and they'll show the light blue areas, the red areas, the light red areas. However, these graphs are set up to prove to you that that's not true. They're going by population density. Where's more gun violence? I looked at one today, and it was, according to Population Density Index, that rural areas have more gun violence than the big cities. This is another tactic they use. Okay, so let's say there's 4,000 people in a rural county, and there's 10 shootings. According to the Population Density Index, that's more than in a city of, let's say, 600,000, and there's 3,000. Or 400, let's just say 400. Gun violence, crimes, shootings, things of that nature. Now, because the population is higher, then that brings the percentage down. So then the rural county that's had 4 shootings, then on the grid is shown to be way higher by amount of people than the 400. That's double think. That's what George Orwell was talking about in 1983. His book that you should read. I'm going to always encourage my listeners to read. Please read. Educate yourself on what's going on. Don't just go to Google. Don't just look up what I'm saying. Go read about it. Most of the world's information is retained in books, because for 10,000 years, man has been writing. For 40 years, is it 40 years now or 30 years, we have had the internet. And yes, it is a great repository of information, but when you have CEOs of Googles and Microsofts and other search engines openly partnering with the propaganda arm of our federal tyrannical government, there's a problem there. You can't trust all the information that you find. Not even a little bit. And just like in the 1860s, you could not trust the newspapers that you read. These were definitely propaganda arms of the then very, very, very tyrannical government. Now, I think, and this is just my opinion, this isn't facts like I've been spitting to you earlier. This is my opinion. That since then, those in power have learned that as long as you don't make it look like, as long as you don't make it look like we are taking habeas corpus, as long as you don't make it look like we are shutting down media outlets that don't promote what we want, as long as you don't make it look like we can get away with it. Because when they made it look like, people actually fought them. Now, I don't know if it's a laziness of the people. I don't know if it's lack of motivation. Or if it's just that people think that it's lost already. There's nothing you can do. You can run for office. Run in your local elections. Stand up to these people. It's the only way we're going to get our country back. Form gun clubs. Form shooting associations. Form militias, but don't call them that because they will crack down on you. No matter if you're standing for law and order, you're not a white supremacist, you're just an average Joe out there wanting to learn how to defend your family, your neighborhood, and your friends if the shit hits the fan. They will label you as racist, white supremacist, Hispano supremacist. I've heard that one. That's what they called the people in northern New Mexico. They were Hispano supremacists. They will label you. So form a gun club. Form a shooting association. Form a prepper network. Form something. Because times are scary. When they are openly attacking the Constitution of the United States. But they're doing it behind the guise, as Bill Cooper said would happen in the 90s. Behind the guise of saving us. People are shooting up schools. Then there's a call for gun control. Is how it always happens. There's a shooting, there's a call for gun control. Even if the shootings don't make any sense, what about the Jason Aldean concert, the Las Vegas shooting? Why have we not heard more about that? Why was that swept under the rug? What about the bombing in Nashville? Blip on the news screen, then over. No great investigation, no nothing. Why was the AT&T building blown? That housed the Dominion servers after they were subpoenaed. I don't know. That's a head scratcher. I don't think one of the alphabet agencies did that. No, sir. That was sarcasm. I was in Tennessee when that happened. Strange. Strange the things that are swept under the rug, and strange the things that are held up for all the public to see. And it's strange that all these states that are ran by Democrats are pushing to disarm the people. Oh, man. It's just, we live in a very strange time. Like I said, in Behold a Pale Horse, Bill Cooper talks about a cashless society, a socialist order that devalues work, the confiscation of weapons, global leadership usurping the sovereignty of the United States. That's what he talked about. Now, this man worked in the intelligence field. This man was gunned down. And they're gonna try and connect him to QAnon. And I'm sorry to tell you guys, but QAnon is a false flag operation by those same people that are talked about. It has been derided, and rightfully so. But they're using that derision against it to rally conservative support to it. Because they're like, oh, you know, they're calling it stupid. They're calling them QAnoners. They're this, that, or the other. So we should be on that side. No, you should not. You should look at what's being said and realize the ridiculousness of it. What about the operation the Vietnam vets against the Vietnam War? What about there was another movement in the 20s by the Communist Party? It was something for truth. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But it was another operation just like Q. Now, Q's didn't sit there and tell you the government's in jail. They're not. Q's didn't tell you there's a lockdown coming for the good of the people, but it's not. Q's a joke. I remember in 2020, I remember the movement, how strong it was. Then I remember Q hamstringing that movement. Q's a freaking joke. And them trying to put Bill Cooper in the same sentence with QAnon is a freaking joke too. That is to discredit the work, the years and years and years of work that this man did. I suggest you all go look over his stuff as well. Read his book, Behold the Pale Horse. Listen to his Mystery Babylon radio show on YouTube. You can still find it there. They have not shut down all the avenues of free speech, but they have made them hard to find. And remember, as always, our goal is to promote the truth about our ancestors who fought against a raging, tyrannical government. Our goal is the truth. Our goal is the good name of our ancestors. Our goal is to promote heroes to our children and educate them about the heroes who stood up against people who tore the Constitution of this nation apart. To stand up to the lies promoted by the Yankee propaganda machine. To teach our children about General Nathan Bedford Forrest, General Stonewall Jackson, General Jeb Stuart, General Mahone, General Sibley, General Robert E. Lee, General A.P. Hill, General D.H. Hill, John Bell Hood, Breckinridge, Braxton, all these men who stood for an ideal. And that ideal was a representative Republican form of government. We are not a democracy. Please remember that, people. Democracy is mob rule. We are a representative republic. And if your representatives don't represent you, don't vote for them. Get the word out there. Picket them. I know there's many people who are retired who listen to this. There's people who are disabled. There's people who are out of work. You can make a difference. All of you can make a difference. Run for office. Picket Democratic headquarters. Picket the representatives who are not representing you offices. Show up in the Capitol buildings. Talk to your representatives. Have events. March. Do everything you can. But most importantly, teach and educate your children that your ancestors were not the people the Yankee propaganda machine paints them to be. Thank you all for tuning in. Like and share. Do all that good stuff. Help us get the truth out there. This is Lieutenant Colonel Bryce signing off in Southern Bonds.
That's just what I am, and for this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in 4 places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism, a camping in the snow. But I killed a chance of Yankees and I'd like to kill some more. 300,000 Yankees is stiff in southern dust. We got 300,000 before they conquered us. They died of southern fever and southern steel and shot. I wish they were 3 million instead of what we got. I can't take up my musket and fight 'em now no more. But I ain't gonna love 'em, now that is certain sure. And I don't want no pardon for what I was and am. I won't be reconstructed and I do not give a damn. Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done.